thank you for being here. And I learned about the thinking environment some years back when I was walking in Africa, and I felt a lot of people, they use it to create special places where the people are treated with respect and with interest, and you really hear everybody out. So you can use it for meetings, and you can use it also for one-to-one work. And what I want to speak and what we want to train a little bit is more the one-to-one work today. That means that it spread initially from an observation that Nancy Klein made some years back, some 35 years back. She observed that everything, the quality of everything we do is based on the quality of the thinking we do first. And with thinking, I always mean the whole body thinking. And this we will experience today in the most pure form, in the purest form. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give some instructions, some informations. Hello, welcome. Please take a seat. We're just beginning. And it would be good if you could join the circle, inner circle. So the quality of everything we do is based on the quality of the thinking we do first. And then Nancy Klein asks herself, so what do we have to do to create the best thinking? And she observed, or she came to the conclusion, it depends a lot how we treat each other when we are together. And this form, how we treat each other, is now called the thinking environment. And then she observed, then if there should be present some components. Let me get this one. And this one. So, and if some components are present in an environment, the people treat each other better. So, and these are right now these 10 components. I cut it out because I wanted to put it at the wall. What I will do afterwards when you are in the session, but, or maybe you can help. But first of all, there is the attention. The quality of my attention, which I give to another person, defines. Just wait a moment, afterwards we put it at the wall, and defines the quality of the thinking of the other person. And I will speak a little bit more about the attention at another point, because it's also somehow a mindfulness practice, in this sense, how we give attention. But this is very crucial. Another point is ease. If I am at ease, and I show this to the other person, the other person thinks better. If I'm in a rush, in a hurry, in an anger, the mind shuts down, the whole body shuts down, and we go to fight, flight, freeze, for instance. But if we're in ease and I show this to the other person thinks at its own, as her, as she is. And then appreciation is also a very, very important point. And if we are in an appreciative mood, we think better. For instance, what we do when we work with groups, you will also experience this later in the one-to-one work, but if we work with groups, one of the first questions we make in a round is, what are you celebrating at this moment? What is working well in your life? What was the latest success in your life? Because when we hear something like this, we get another mood, and we got really, really, we can really, really think better afterwards. And then there are also some rules, and this is because of equality. Equality in the sense of the thinking environment is that we are not equal, but we are equal in our potential to create the best thinking. So it's really our highest potential, And in this sense, we are equal. But to create this equality, we have to give ourselves some rules, because if we are not equal, one after the other, or if one is stronger in a conversation or dominates a conversation, automatically the other person is not feeling very well. So because of this, we are creating rules which create equality between us. So I think that's all for a start. Thank you. But maybe you can put it on this wall. Would be excellent. So, because I really want to speak more about it, and because of this, I removed it from the flip chart. So what I want to do now is really to experience this a little bit. And we have some applications, and one of the applications is the thinking pair. And I want to invite you to really think in this as we propose it. I will not speak about that right now. So it's a very simple exercise, because we have one thinking partner and one thinker. And again, it's whole body thinking. So you group up in two people go together. One will be the thinker, the other will be the thinking partner. And one thinks for 3 minutes, or I think for 5 minutes, we'll do it a little bit longer, and then the other person thinks for 5 minutes. And the thinking partner pays attention only. This is the only job he has to do. Well, he has to ask one question, but then he has only to pay attention to the thinker. He will not comment. He won't give feedback, and he will listen with genuine interest. This is very important, that you really listen what comes next. What is the next thing the thinker can say? Because you won't comment anyway. You won't give feedback. So it's also not so important that you understand it completely. It might be really out of your own reality, out of your own thinking paths you have established. But by that, you can really pay attention and listen with this genuine interest. And it's absolutely a no-go that you interrupt the other person. Because every interruption destroys the thinking of the other person. And the thinker chooses a topic he or she wants to think about. A topic of, I normally recommend that you take something which is really fresh for you in the moment. The thinking partner will make a question, which is, what do you want to think about and what are your thoughts? It's very neutral. And something comes to your mind when you hear this question. And in this moment, something springs up in your mind as a thinker. And then you can think about that. This is normally a recommendation I do. And very important is also, as a thinker, you don't have to give context to the thinking partner. Because the thinking partner won't comment, won't give feedback. He is there to listen to you with genuine interest. And silence is also part of the conversation, because sometimes you see that the thinker stays in silence for some seconds. And then it's also not necessary that to interrupt. So the thinking partner stays with his eyes or with her eyes on the eyes of the thinker. And the thinker goes to all directions looking for some things. But then it might happen that the thinker stays in silence, and in this moment you don't have to interrupt him or her. And what is also very important is it's very good when you are not interrupted. When you are not interrupted when you think. thank you. But in the thinking environment, you are sure from the beginning that you won't be interrupted. And this really catalyzes your thinking as a thinker. Yes, thank you. You can also think, we found out it's helpful that you think out loud. But if you are also, because what you speak about is, it can be also confidential. It can be very, very true for you and so on. But it helps if you speak it out loud. But you can also do it with somebody in a language you don't understand. But it's helpful that you speak it out loud, because then you can catalyze your thinking better. Well, you do equal turns, and it's not a dialogue. That means one person thinks for some minutes, and then the other person thinks for some minutes. And you don't comment or give feedback. Hello. I'm just setting up an exercise here. You can soon join in. So I will speak a little bit about two other components. One other component is feelings. We heard also a lot from Terry speaking about that. So feelings is also important. Sometimes feelings comes up. Feelings are information. So sometimes the thinker cries a little bit or gets excited or something. This is also okay. Anyway, you don't have to interrupt the thinker, because it's an adult also. He or she knows what to do. If not, she can always ask the thinker. Oh yeah, the thinking partner. If the thinker asks the thinking partner something, that's also okay. And he can ask for help. But normally, it's better to stay with the silence and to stay with their own thoughts. So an encouragement, and because this is something which is very, very difficult, especially in couples, for instance. I want to encourage my partner to go beyond his, her, or her own thinking. Even I have my own agenda. Even I have my own feelings and thoughts about the issue, if it's a shared issue. And in this moment, it's very important that you encourage the other person to go beyond. You ask always yourself, oh, that's interesting. What more can the other people say? Can the other person say? Where else can she go?
So you're suggesting that the listener root for the thinker, in effect, be on their side, be in an orientation of encouraging the best thinking they can do, even though that's not being expressed in any overt way with words or gestures. It's just a spirit that you want to bring to it.
Exactly. You're encouraging the other person to do exactly this. And one question you can also do in this process is, can I be sure that that thing I can say to the thinker is better than the solution the thinker can come up by herself or by himself? And you can never be sure about that, in my opinion. So this is really encouragement. So how is the process? What's the time? Well, yeah, okay. I want to do it twice. We do it now, then we do a debrief, and then we do it again. So I would like to do it 5 minutes each. So please go in duos. And any questions to this process? I will give you the questions now. So these are the questions. The thinking partner give. If we are not pair, I will. Oh, but you are. That's fine. So you can work together. In a pair number, so it's good. So the first question is always, what do you want to think about, and what are your thoughts? It's most open possible. And sometimes the thinker does not need another question. The essence is that we do a question with the intention that this question might be the last question the thinker needs. But sometimes if you see the thinker thinks, and then at one moment he comes back to your eyes again and says, I think that's it. And then in this moment, you make the second question. What more do you think or feel or want to say? So you can connect also to the different intelligences by the second question, because the thinker normally, but we will see this later. So we do it 5 minutes each. And now another important point, at the 10 minutes when they are done, we do an appreciation. And an appreciation in a thinking environment is always sincere, specific, and a short thing. So you always appreciate a quality you see in the other person, not a component, and not a behavior. You appreciate a quality you see in the other person. Even after 5 minutes, it's possible. So we do this 5 minutes one, 5 minutes the second, and then the appreciation, maybe 1 or 2 minutes more. It's really a short thing. Okay? 5 minutes. I will tell you when the first 5 minutes are over that you can change. Thank you. after 10 minutes.
Thank you. your thoughts, that is your thinking wave, and then appreciate each other in a succinct, sincere, and specific way, appreciating a quality you saw in the other person.
Come back to the circle. Could you come back to the circle, please?
Could you come back to the circle, please? We will do this one more time afterwards, but I really wanted to just, we have more, half an hour left, I think. We do it one more time. So we have maybe 10 minutes for a debrief, 10 minutes for one more session, and then 10 minutes for another debrief. So what was, I only want to hear some voices, because probably we can't speak, and there's no time for that we can hear everybody, but... So what was good, what was interesting, and what questions arose? Questions.
I had an experience when I was first asked, what am I thinking, that my mind went blank, and that it felt like being came online and took priority. But I muscled through and thought a bunch anyways.
His mind went blank, but mine didn't. When I looked at him, my mind blew out. So I had I came to many ideas, but now it didn't really. I mean, in this few minutes, it didn't come out what I find a problem in everyday life, and maybe you have some suggestion to it. Now, what somehow I know, and if I explain you my personal situation. I have a very clever wife, more intelligent than me, much more intelligent than me, but just because of this, she works hard. And because she works hard, she is tired. And now, when we are together, because she is tired, she is in a defensive situation often. And this situation is actually the situation of a victim. Yeah, and I'm kind of full of energy, you know, kind of playful and so on, and sometimes humorous and so on. But she finds it as being dominated by me, and she is a victim. And now our relationship is a victim-dominator relationship, and often does not go well. And even when I wanted to tell her once, you know, so just I know that you are often tired, you know, once you come home, and she somehow didn't get it. And so that's why we are playing this game of dominator and victim. And if you just, let's say, read on Wikipedia, if you put it down, victim mentality, you get the results of the research done by Stanford University, which explains how victims behave. And victims do criticize, blame others, are cynical. So they are not in the situation of being masters of situation. Yeah. So, and I believe that this is a problem in many, many couples, in many families, many homes.
Sure, yeah, so. Yeah, but there's no question, or is this, well,
Can you have, do you have any answer to this, or it's not easy, I know.
Well, the question is that we are trained to treat each other in a certain form. And here we suggest another form, thank you. We suggest another form of treating each other. So, because we are trained, we are raised in a world where the teacher is in the front and he asks you something and you respond something. And what we suggest here is another world where we make an agreement at the beginning that I believe that the thoughts you can create are better than any thought I can create for myself. Well, it's always for the first person, and so, and by that you create an equality in between the two people. Anyhow, this kind of shadows might appear still, but you have a form to treat each other, to heal yourself, and it's also workable in couples. So, for instance, this thing we do is. We can also use it in a timed talk, as a timed talk, that 1 minute, one person speaks for 1 minute, and then the other person speaks for 1 minute. And when the bell goes off after 1 minute, you have to stop in the word. But this makes you listen again to the other person, because it starts like this, and then at one point you listen again. So there are some solutions for this. Any more questions or comments? Well, I also say I wanted to show you something. I say that it's a threefold mindfulness practice because of one thing, because of the attention we pay to the other we pay in general, because there are three streams of attention we call it. You firstly pay attention to the content, what the other person says, in one way or the other. Then you pay attention to your inner response, which is created by the content. And then you also pay attention to sustain the 10 components for the other person. That means, for instance, if the other person needs more appreciation in your thoughts, then you can give her more appreciation. Or if she needs more ease, you then you look in a different way maybe. So these kinds of things are happening in a thinking environment. And when you lose, for instance, the response that your response dominates, automatically the other streams are damaged. So corrupted. So you don't pay any attention anymore to the content because you're thinking about the things you heard, and you are not don't pay attention anymore to sustain a thinking environment for the other person.
Can you say that again? What's
the third? It's a 10 components. These are 10 components. The thinking environment that you pay attention, for instance, or that you appreciate the other person in internally when she's speaking, right? Shall we do the exercise again? Yes, please.
One person talked for 5 minutes. One of us talked for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The other person listened attentively,
yes,
without interrupting,
yes,
and vice versa. So some of these you can do without speaking, but you have other things that I don't know, like incisive question. Are we supposed to do that?
Well, the incisive question is, the incisive question is something very special. So we do this process, and in coaching or in one-to-one work, I do this. I start with the first question, and sometimes happens that the other person thinks for himself for 1 hour without any other other interaction. This is happening, but it's not happening normally because we are not trained like that. So, but if you are going to get into this and you train this, this is happening, and sometimes then there comes the second question and so on. And the second question you can always repeat if you need it. But sometimes, after 20 minutes or something, the person perceives that there is nothing new coming, and then you make another question, and at one point enters the incisive question, for instance, because the next question which comes: what more do you want to achieve in this session? And at this point you can create a goal for the rest of the session. And what normally happens in our life, that we can't achieve a goal because there is an assumption that we created during our life which is untrue but lived as true. Untrue, but lived as true. And the incisive question at one point removes the untrue assumption and puts in a liberating assumption. And so new energy is created. And this is, by the way, the process the human mind makes by himself when he has a breakthrough. But this is really, to learn this complete process, it's a course of 3 days. So we use this also in meetings, because it helps you, that you can focus and you can come out only with your freshest thinkings. We can everybody of us can think each other at one point, but when you can go very profound in this 5 minutes process if it's very important also. So that's it. Can we do it one more time, but maybe now, what's the time?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
You said that thinking partner doesn't provide feedback, but I'm thinking about some non-verbal feedback. Non-verbal feedback.
I just had to laugh.
Laughing, smiling, or making by head, this part kind of feedback. So what about this?
Well, every feedback you give has the potential that it interrupts the thinking of the other person. So it's what's normally happening, that you are interested in what the other person says, but sometimes you mirror. If she smiles, you also smile. This is happening automatically. But everything more is... You can always ask yourself, my face is interrupting the other person somehow, my my expression on my face. So this is also, and so if you laugh, and you never know how the thinker reacts to this laugh.
You show yourself as attentive by just looking, yes, and keeping a straight face, or responding to their expression.
You can respond to expression, but in a light way. And it's always good to smile a little bit and to look at the other person. Okay, shall we do it one more time for 5 minutes again? You can change the partners. It might be interesting. And so everything we say, of course, is confidential, like, and here, and it won't leave this room, but so on. Okay? But you can also stay with the same partner if you wish. And again, make the appreciation and after 10 minutes. Please start now.
speaker.
please finish your thoughts and appreciate each other in a sincere, succinct, and specific way. Please come back to the circle for the last 8 minutes. So, what questions or comments came up, or what's your freshest thinking about this process?
I enjoyed the exercise because I think it's a valuable tool to just be quiet and listen.
Thank you.
Yeah, same here. Maybe that's particularly good for women to just shut up. And but I also felt I felt both sides of it a relief, both the knowledge that I could just say a half sentence and pause. In fact, it stopped me from interrupting myself, because normally I say a half sentence, then I say another half sentence, and then I forgot where I started. But this way, I did the half sentence, and then I paused. I didn't know how it I realized I didn't know how it finished, but it didn't matter. And that was nice. And also knowing that I didn't have to respond, that I could just let the other talk without having to respond. I liked it. Yeah,
that's one big thing also for me. It's so nice that for me personally that you don't have to come up with some clever solution for the other. So this is really relieving it a lot.
But to you can use these further techniques to come to a good solutions, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, the further techniques are also always inviting the thinker to come up with the solutions, because one of the key assumptions we have behind the process is that the person who has the problem also has the answer. Sometimes information is missing, but because of this, information is also an component. And when this happens, the thinker normally knows the process, because we are thinking. It's a thinking partnership. So if you do it in a longer way for 45 minutes, and for 45 minutes one person thinks, and then the other person thinks for 45 minutes, and then they both know. Then if you don't have an information, you can look it up. You can look it up in the internet, and this sometimes happens. So it's really the responsibility of the thinker in the whole process where he or she wants to go. One more question or comment?
I'm just wondering about, you used the term embodied thinking as well, or something like that. So I'm just wondering how you support people in bringing the body into it.
Well, one thing I think is the second question. So when you ask, what more do you think or feel or want to say? And when you repeat it sometimes, the thinker pays more attention to the thinking or to the impulses or to the feelings. This is also happening. So it gives you also the different perspectives in the present moment. And because of this, I said it's really engaging wholeness for me in this sense, because in the present moment you have access to different perspectives and really what is most useful for you in the moment. So you can think about, what do I want to do for the next weekend, or you can think about what's the purpose of my life. So it's really in the moment what's important for the thinker. And it's, well, and some people also do yoga, and I watch them. This is also happening. So it's really, this is really what is most, because it's really the invite is the thinker can do what he or she wants. So I think we are almost done. So this is really the one-to-one process, and we use it in a similar way in group processes. That we want that the people think for themselves when they are together. And so it's, you can use it for meetings and so on. And in meetings we also use this process, because it helps the people to converge to some things sometimes. Cool?
So you can also ask, actually, what do you want to do? So not only what do you want thinking, what you're thinking, what your body wants or what your heart wants. Huh?
Exactly. So because this is, we call in the whole process, in the 1 hour or 45 minutes, we call this the free exploration phase. Because sometimes you have a tension, and you don't know what tension this is, and so you have to first to think about this tension or feel the tension, and as only after some time you can create an objective or create a goal. First you have to think, what's this, what I'm feeling right in the moment, and what is, for instance, I have problems to speak with George, and what is this? So if he can think about this a little bit, and then at one point, at one moment, he can then make the goal: I want to speak with George, and something, some assumption or some belief is hindering you, stopping you from speaking with George, and then we go into the process of looking at assumptions and creating the incisive question at one moment, and this is all done by the thinker. Sometimes we do the first question, and the thinker makes the whole process by himself, herself. And you can see it in the thinking of the thinker when he or she speaks. One more thing? One more question, I think we are at the end of the time, and yes, one or two minutes more. It was Nancy Klein. Oh, I can show you this. Nancy Klein, she is a US lady living in, and the website is Time to Think. My website is munzner.co, but the website with all with a lot of information and a lot of some videos and some articles, and how it improves the meeting culture, for instance, how it improves coaching, and how you really can listen from in this transformative way. There's a lot of material, and time to think of, and there are a lot of certified coaches and facilitators and consultants who offer these courses all over the world, mainly in Great Britain, South Africa. One person is now publishing a book in German, a colleague of ours. But the most of the material is in English for now, and in the US, and we are working with it in Brazil mainly. Cool? We cool? Thank you. It was a pleasure.